Welcome to another episode of Limitless, the podcast that is making the impossible possible. I'm Alex, and today my guest is super inspiring, super motivated, and super optimistic, like me. You'll get to meet the lovely Aditi Banerjee, a spoken word poet and youth activist who is always involved in something new and interesting and is making change in her local neighbourhood and across the world. Aditi started being an activist at just 13, and one of the things I love about her is how she just seems to keep going with new projects, meeting new people and trying new things. She is very much a go-for-it-even-if-it-scares-you type of person, and I found this so inspiring. I've sometimes spent a long time not doing things because I was scared, and this was a great reminder for me that fear is just a state of mind, something which you can learn to accept and carry on anyway, rather than something that has to stop you forever. Aditi talks to us about the benefits of finding and working with a community of like-minded people to follow your creativity and passion, and also how she took on her own learning throughout the pandemic, experiencing firsthand the effect of government decisions on multi-generational households. However, one of the things I loved most about this interview was Aditi's never-ending optimism about life. She's the same as me, always finding silver linings at the worst of times, having a positive outlook on everything, and not afraid to dream big dreams. Perhaps where I can learn from her the most, though, is her confidence. At one point, she says, "It's not that you have to gain enough confidence to start speaking up. You gain the confidence by speaking up." Which is most definitely a quote I will be writing on my wall. Okay, I won't keep you waiting any longer. Here's Aditi's interview. Enjoy! Hello, Aditi, and welcome to the Limitless podcast.
Hi, it's so lovely to meet you.
It's so great to meet you too. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us. So, Aditi, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got into poetry and climate change activism?
Yeah, definitely. I think that social issues have probably always been something that I've cared about. And I think a lot of people also find that that's something that they want to do something about. And for me personally, I think it was probably related to when I was quite young, I experienced bullying. And I think that for me, that probably triggered a sense of how to do the right thing. And you should try and speak up as much as you can to have as much fairness as you can. And I think that was probably something that inside of me that kind of was always thinking, try and do the right thing. But then I think, like a lot of people who care about social issues, they seem so big and overwhelming, and it's like, how can I take action as one individual to tackle these huge issues, especially if you think about climate change? It just seems so immense. And so I think the first time that I really was able to turn that caring into doing was probably when, about 3 years ago, when I found out about the Sustainable Development Goals, because they were the first time that I'd heard the UN set up these goals to try and do something about creating tangible things that we can each do, and kind of in our everyday lives. And obviously they scale up to these incredible goals that will make the world a better place. But for me, I think it was the fact that I could see how I, as an individual, could do something. And then I wanted to raise awareness about that and like let more people know, hey, there are things that we can all do, you know. It doesn't have to be this humongous thing that from fear we almost end up doing nothing because we want to do everything. So I think that that was probably what first got me involved in activism. In, I think they cover a wide range of issues from inequality to environmentalism. But in researching that, I think climate change, particularly because of the urgency of it, really struck a chord with me. And then I got really immersed in that area and started I actually came across Greta Thunberg's TED Talk a few months before she kind of blew up and became the face of the internet and BBC. I remember a few months after I'd seen her TED Talk saying to my mum, I saw that TED Talk. And then actually the night that I did, I remember thinking, I was just so inspired by it that actually got me started thinking I want to create a website and talk about all the issues of climate change in one place. But it was kind of crazy. I set myself these goals to try and get it done, I think, before my 14th birthday. And then I actually managed to do it. But I think it probably says a lot about why Greta Thunberg was so successful, because even without the fame associated with her name, she was very powerful, definitely. So I think a few triggering moments that probably got me inspired.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Like, there's definitely a few kind of talks and people and stuff that I've seen over the years, which is just, it's almost like a trigger's gone on where I'm like, oh my goodness, there's something I need to do about this now.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Which is amazing. And that's exactly why I love sharing people's stories, actually. So tell me a little bit about, because you write poetry, don't you?
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Were you a poet first and then you decided to use that for your activism work, or was it the other way around and the poetry sort of came as part of it?
So I always say, actually, that because I found spoken word poetry, which is what I would probably describe myself as, about on YouTube. And I started watching tons of videos talking about these issues that I really cared about, like inequality for racism or sexism and all of these things that I personally felt really passionate about, but they articulate them so incredibly powerfully. So I was watching these and then one day I was like, I wonder if I can try and write one. And then read it to my mom and then read it. My first time I performed a spoken word poem was, the only place I could find locally was at a pub. But I didn't realize it was a pub until we got there. There were quite, like, the age group, there was pretty much no one my age. It was probably age 25 to right up till probably 65. I got there and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so intimidated. But then they were actually really, really nice and welcoming. Oh. And I actually felt like I was buzzing by the end, definitely. But after that, I found a group. The first time I went was actually the first month of 2020. So I managed to go about three times before everything shut down. But they were much younger. I was still probably the youngest, but in their 20s. And it was a really nice group that then went online. And I actually went to workshops one of the YouTubers that I was looking at when I first was inspired by spoken word was a woman who grew up in Slough, where I live, but then moved to London, and she was literally one of the probably top five poets that I loved, and had performed in all the places that I had later found, but I had just missed her. And then when everything went online, she ended up creating workshops online with the group that I had started performing with.
Fair.
And now I've probably gone on and off for every workshop she's done in lockdown for probably over a year. And we now are like, we know each other quite well, and she's been a bit of a mentor for me. And so that's
amazing.
Been really amazing, definitely.
Fantastic. How has she inspired you to continue with your spoken word poetry?
One of the things she does, I think, is probably that in her workshop, she has an exercise where she says, you have a minute and I'm going to give you a line and just write whatever comes to your head. And you don't have the opportunity to kind of, you know, overthink and go, I don't think that works. And you just have to write. And then we share every week. And obviously we don't have to, but we actually generally feel comfortable enough to share whatever we've written. And then it was such a lovely community, because by the end, it ended up being an international tiny group of really, really close-knit people. And so it felt like such a safe space. So every time somebody read a poem, we'd all, you know, in the chat, say what we loved about it. And it wasn't really forced. She never actually asked us to, but it became something that we did every single week. And so I think that my confidence of performing spoken word definitely came from from that, from sharing it in a safe space and then getting that confidence boost from people kind of saying, you know, you're actually good at this.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? There's two things that really stand out for me from what you just said. Firstly, the community aspect, like how important is that to have like a group of people that make you feel safe in like what you're doing and to like muck up a bit and get it wrong, yeah. but actually just get better because that's what you've got to do, right? But also you said about this kind of, you know, write something in a minute. And I love that. We spend so much time sometimes like worrying and overthinking and procrastinating and all of that stuff to try and like wait for the perfect thing to come to us. And sometimes you just need to crack on, don't you?
Just
do what comes. Yeah, yeah.
I've started using that now. Whenever I have other, like someone's asked me to write a poem on something, I would just like find a line on the topic and then just force myself to write for 5 minutes and see what I have. And generally it's actually better than when I sit there for 30 minutes carefully lit. And then afterwards I can edit it, obviously, but really nice to have that release.
Yeah, fantastic. So you've obviously done various bits. You've got your website and you've won some awards as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've won some local awards where we have like different categories of young artist and young environmentalist. And so it's quite exciting, I think, every year you get more than I think the award. I get to be with a group of people who are all, you know, interested in doing the same things and you get to talk to them about what they're doing. And that's so, it's so exciting. I think one year we volunteered to do a bit of a, like, it's a voluntary group where young people go around our town and try and see what we can improve. And we talk to different people. And then we wrote up a report and did a presentation to our local councillors. And that actually the next year won the award for local young volunteer group of the year. But that I loved because I got to meet up with these people to do something that felt really productive and meaningful. And how can we make our town more sustainable, for example, and more safe? And so all of those things, I think one of the best things about working in these spaces is being able to connect with people that you, you know, you connect with on that deeper level because you have this shared kind of mission and purpose.
Oh, that's such, it's so powerful to have that, like that group to work with. Absolutely. So what do you think, and I know sometimes it is hard to pick one, but what do you think is your greatest achievement?
Oh, you know what? I think I would say sometime last year, I was able to co-host a climate panel event where it was virtual. And so we got people internationally, different parts of Africa and then America and then Britain. And they were all much more expert on the topic of climate change than me. And so I was just able to co-host and just kind of go between all these amazing voices. And it was called New Ideas on Old Climate Conversations. And that was really lovely. I actually got to open that event with one of my poems, which again, it was probably the cherry on the top for me. But I really like, as you say, being able to hear different perspectives on these issues and the wisdom that people have from, you know, dedicating their whole lives to this.
Yeah, absolutely. How did that opportunity come about?
So I worked with a woman called Mary Kurek, who we actually connected on LinkedIn as well. I was involved with her for a poetry book. And I worked with a few other girls, one in India and one in Nigeria. And we created a book of poems from girls around the world, which is how we first connected. But later we kind of started getting involved in all these different opportunities that came about. It was a bit of a mentorship program in some ways. And so one of the opportunities was the idea that we had to kind of create a place where all of these voices could come together and discuss the issues of climate change. And so during Climate Week, we were organizing it up until then, I think, for months. It was kind of like an idea between that group of people and then ended up coming to reality, which is always crazy to see when you have a small idea and then it actually happens.
And oh yeah, isn't that just the best thing though?
Yeah,
when you see something like you have like a little inkling of something, and then it actually happens, and you're like, wow, I actually created this, or I was a big part of creating this. Amazing.
Yeah,
I love it. So, I mean, one of the things that commonly happens when you are doing lots of exciting things with your life, which it sounds like you are, is you come across challenges. Like there are difficult things along the way. What do you think is one of your greatest challenges you've come across?
I think for me, in terms of, and I would say probably my biggest challenge happened, as you say, at the same time as a lot of the amazing things that were happening, and they weren't necessarily linked, but it feels sometimes life is very like up and down and almost at the same time. You know, people talk about long periods of up and then down, but I think they can happen very much at the same time in your life.
Yeah, totally.
Just polar opposites. And so for me, that was probably during the pandemic, like a lot of people probably the last few years have been quite tough. And I would probably start by saying I consider myself really lucky, because the people that I really care about and people I live with are healthy and safe, and that's the most important thing. But I live with my grandmother, as I mentioned, and so she's vulnerable. So we've stayed at home as much as possible during this period. And so when the government policy changed to all kids have to go to school, my family kind of made a decision that that wasn't safe for us, and we didn't want to take that risk. And the school stance and the government position just they clashed with that. And so my school kind of wasn't able to give me any teacher support or feedback, or, you know, it was actually during my GCSE year, so I pretty much learned how to work independently, and I was kind of texting my friends like, what part of science are we up to, so that I could use the textbooks as much as I could. But it almost felt a bit like everyone around me was saying, it's a bit of a uni experience where you have to like do it yourself. But definitely there was a lot of uncertainty in that period about whether I'd even get my exam results and what would happen. And it did work out, but obviously in the period you're thinking, I don't know what's gonna happen, and it's quite tough. I think the school were quite tough on that, and so I would say it definitely taught me a lot about resilience. And also probably a silver lining is the freedom it gave me to probably use writing as a release to talk about things where I felt like I have more control and I can do something and I can have an impact, because I always, you know, want to use my poetry to talk about issues of social justice. And I think also one of the things that I was thinking about with what happened was, for me, it was almost seeing firsthand how the people who were writing those policies probably didn't even consider. There was a lot of advice on the news at the time of, don't go and visit your grandmother to kids because you'll pass it on. And it was like, I live with my grandmother, so I'm not visiting her. It's not. And so I think the people probably writing those policies are not even thinking about multi-generational households. And sometimes the people, and ethnic minorities are typically more ethnic minorities live in multi-generational households. And I think it's that case of seeing firsthand how sometimes there is no one at the table, quite literally, in these places of power, which is why you need diversity, so that somebody can hold the hand up and say, actually, we need to consider this, because
have we thought about it, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. That must have been a really impactful experience, actually. Like going from, you know, being at school to then suddenly everyone in lockdown, that's one thing. But then to have everyone returning to some sort of normality, but you having to just, you know, carry on and do it yourself. I mean, that's like, you mentioned resilience and stuff. Do you think that had any impact on how you did your learning in that last year?
Yeah, I had to, because I wasn't taught, so to speak, I think. And it was really, really strict, actually, because the way it was written, it was kind of down to head teacher discretion. And so even when people were isolating, and they sent Zoom links to the lesson, because at my school, everyone actually had iPads. So I was able to look at the homework that we had on our iPad and then do that. But then a lot of teachers weren't informed what was happening with me. Some of my teachers actually thought I left. It was, and then I, for a few months in between, they went back to online learning, and then they went back to school. And when they went back to school after online learning, I was again, teacher support. But during that period, I was like everyone else with all of my friends again in all of my classes. And, you know, some of my teachers went, I didn't know you were still in our class. Like, I'm glad you are, but what a surprise. So there was definitely a huge adjustment. So I tried to keep up with, as I say, the fact that we had iPads meant I could have some idea of what was being covered. But it was a bit frustrating when the policies were so strict that they weren't even allowed to give me Zoom links when the kids who were isolating in the same class were allowed those Zoom links. But I think I also used a lot of online resources. Like, I found these amazing videos that a lot of people that have done great things that make things so much easier for other people and helping each other. And so I kind of discovered that more than I had before, because I had that when I was at home, I was like, I have to, you know, manage my day. How am I going to use these hours to actually revise or go work towards my exams? And so structuring that, I needed to use those resources. And so, yeah.
That must have been a lot of skills you were developing very quickly there.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, actually, because a lot of my audience probably they're quite passionate about education. And so they talk a lot about self-directed learning. So that's exactly what you were talking about. Similar to what you were talking about, in the sense that, you know, you have to go and find the stuff to learn what you want rather than being kind of just given it. So it's just really interesting that you ended up doing that for the end of your sort of GCSE education. And how much of a challenge that must have been, actually.
Yeah, I actually go to an online school now, Harrow School Online, which is quite a new school, and it's also international, which is quite a nice thing about being online. I've discovered you get to connect with people from so many different backgrounds. But when I was applying for that, they said quite a common thing is it's not for everyone, because you have to be quite independent, and a lot of it is self-study and self-learning. But I was like, don't worry, as long as I know what it is that I have to learn. I think that experience definitely really helped with that, because now I really love my school right now, and I love the teacher support, but also the sense of independence and being able to structure your own day to decide what helps you most. So I think it definitely taught me a lot that I can use now, and probably also going to uni.
Is that something that you decided to do because of your experience with your GCSEs, or did you plan to do the online school before that?
Yeah, not at all, actually. I probably never would have considered online school before COVID. But then, you know, I think life is a funny way of, even though it seems at the time like, why is this happening? It actually has a way of working out if you like wait long enough. I'm actually really glad, because I think I love some of the opportunities at the school, and the way it's a completely new way of learning and completely new way of looking at things and structuring your day. I think it probably gives me the freedom to do more of this kind of stuff and talking about all these different social issues and pursuing poetry. I think because I have control of how I choose to spend my time, and then I learn time management, I guess, the hard way, then I think it's really something that I'm grateful to be able to do, but I never would have considered it before.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. What would you like to do next with your spoken word poetry and your activism? Have you got any sort of plans or ideas, or are you just sort of seeing how it goes?
In vague terms, I just want to keep doing more and get as far a reach as possible. And I think one of the things that has always been a goal of mine that's probably quite big, but I've always been interested in doing a TEDx talk. Before I found spoken word poetry, before I found climate change, I've always watched TEDx talks, and it was probably one of the first things when I was so young, probably too young, my parents showed me. And then I remember on summer holidays I would sit and watch TEDx talks But yeah, that was definitely something that I would love to do. I think it's an amazing way to reach people. And I actually would love to incorporate spoken word poetry in a talk.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I think a few people have done things like that. And so I think that would be really interesting to do. And then I guess in terms of career, I would probably like working somewhere like the UN. Mm-hmm. Again, massive goals.
We love big goals here. This is what this is all about, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, dream big. And I think also quite often I think what happens is, like with the poetry book that I first connected with Mary about, ended up being so many other things, and she really became a mentor for me and provided me with opportunities to connect with other mentors. And so sometimes it happens in ways you never expect. And you just go for every opportunity that you get as much as you can. So I think that's definitely my mindset, is as much as I can get involved with things where I can have an impact, then I want to.
Fantastic. I love it. And I, you know, just keep dreaming big. Like, absolutely. Like, that is absolutely my philosophy, is like, you just think that you're going to change the world. And then, you know, you've actually got a chance of doing it. Exactly. Exactly. I love it. So could you tell me, Aditi, what would your one piece of advice be to other people, other young people who are interested in activism or even poetry, like who just want to get themselves out there? What would your piece of advice be?
I would say start even when it scares you, because like I said with my poetry, it's not that you have to gain enough confidence to start speaking up. You gain the confidence by speaking up. It's like when you do it, you're kind of learning on the job, and that's kind of the joy of it. And so I was definitely extremely shy, and I still would say I'm probably still an introvert at heart. I still am able to come on a stage and perform poetry, which is something that I thought I'd never be able to do. I remember doing class presentations where I was like shaking. And so, you know, I definitely think that even if it really scares you, you should still just go for it, because it will happen as you do it. You'll learn as you do it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Start before you're ready. I just think that's such a good piece of advice. Have you inspired your friends, Aditi, to, like, if they've seen you doing these great things, or are they all doing them too?
I think I have probably loads of different groups of friends now, from the community with spoken word poetry, and then the volunteering community that I did that project with, and then my old school friends who I quite suddenly had to not see because of COVID. Yeah. But then I think we'll definitely meet in person as soon as we can. And then new school friends. But I would say they all are doing things in different ways. And I think we all share what it is, whether it's what we are doing or what we want to do.
That's absolutely fabulous. So if people are interested in your spoken word poetry and the work you're doing and where you're going, where is the best place for them to come and find you?
Probably all the updates about what I'm getting involved in, you'd probably see on my LinkedIn, Aditi Banerjee. If you search Aditi Writes of the Banerjee LinkedIn, that might come up. And then all of my videos and my spoken word on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is Save Our World as one word. I would say those are probably the two main places. I'm on Twitter as well, and I'm sure I can send you a link, but those are probably the two main places.
Fabulous. I'll put all the links in the description anyway, so it's all good. Thank you so much, Aditi. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and just so inspiring. You're doing so much with your life, and as you say, you've overcome some really challenging things in the last couple of years by the sound of it. So you're still going strong. It's been amazing.
Thank you. It's been so lovely to talk to you.
Well, what a fantastic young lady. I will most certainly be keeping an eye out for her in the future. If you would like to connect with her, I'll be putting her LinkedIn and YouTube links in the description, so check those out. I most certainly look forward to continuing to talk to her.
It's inspiring seeing someone take so much action. So, next week, I'm back with another personal episode. I'm not exactly sure what it will be about yet, but I'm bound to be talking about, getting excited about, and maybe freaking out about the workshop I'm running on the 19th of May, which, by the way, you should definitely come to if you've ever uttered the phrase, I would do, insert your big idea or dream here, but I don't have time. We're not going to wait for the time to magically appear anymore. We are going to create that time, guys. Have a fab week, and I'll speak to you all soon.